the rock that we ate. Ones we love, ones we hate. Some are good, some are great. One meat, two sides, hot sauce. We're your guides, Rob, Andy, and Randy, and sometimes a guest.
Welcome to Talking Trash, a Rochester-based food podcast where you rate and review local and national food favorites. I'm Rob.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Andy. And we're back. Probably just for one episode, but who knows? Maybe we'll get it together and keep doing episodes.
No way. We're doing a new series all about tacos.
We did not discuss this beforehand.
This is spontaneous. This is happening.
Well, this week today we just ate at Rustic Taco in Fairport, New York. We were inspired to go here based on a few friend-to-friend reviews, maybe up to three positive reviews. This place is relatively new in Fairport, and we were goaded into it by some friends.
Yeah, Silky Chris and his wife and Pete, former guest of the pod, who has never listened to a single episode, but all of them really, really recommended this place, and so we thought we have to check it out.
Not even his own episode that he was on, he has not listened to.
Yeah.
Hey, did you listen to that episode that you were on? He's like, nah.
I'm good. Okay. I was
just
there.
Puts it out into the world.
I was there.
Honestly, he wasn't missing much.
He's like, yeah, I lived it, man. I'm not doing that again.
So, guys, we're back. I have gotten several texts, by several, I mean two, from two different listeners. Mike and Sue, who are just hassling me and being like, hey, we're itching for a new ep. What's going on? And so we had to get the gang back together.
Our listeners are few, but passionate.
Voracious. Voracious appetites for food content in the local Rochester area.
Well, since I just updated the Google Doc we use as our agenda, and I think it said the last time it was updated was in May, if that sounds right. I think it does. It's been a while, as they say. Should we do a little catch-up?
Let's catch it up.
Catch it up.
Okay. So this is a weird time to do a catch-up, considering we're like 2 months into a new school year, and the last time we had a podcast was about a month and a half before school ended. So a lot has changed. It was about to be summer, and then we had summer, and now it's already like the shortest time of year. It's kind of depressing, but we had the summertime. Rob and I and some people got some Bills tickets this year. We split some season tickets. That's very exciting. Unfortunately, the Bills have decided that the year we bought season tickets to stink. They're currently 5-5, just fired their offensive coordinator. But the Bills games have been a treat. It's been nice to consistently go to those again, not only this year, but the last few years. I'm a big fall fan, so I'm enjoying the Bills. I don't know. We had a great summer. Not much else. It's hard to even remember the details at so much time.
Yeah, it was a good summer. And I echo everything Andy said. You know, I think, you know, one thing, this is maybe kind of almost a plug, Rising Storm Brewing was going to be coming to the Daisy Flour Mill, and I don't live that far away. So about once a week, sometimes twice a week, I would just drive by to check on the progress from basically the spring until they finally opened in the fall.
And you would text us basically after every drive.
And all of the texts said, it doesn't look like they're doing anything in there. And progress is very slow, at least from my vantage point from the road. And they finally opened. And I'm happy to say that the food's good. The beer's good. It's a very large space. And they're doing a really great job handling the many cars and many people that go there. Every time I've gone, we've been able to get food and drinks pretty quickly. We've been able to get tables every single time. So,
oh my gosh, we'll do an episode about it.
I think we're going to have to do a whole series there. All fall, every episode there, different food item. But cool outdoor space too, and I look forward to seeing. I know they still want to do a little bit more work here and there, but I look forward to seeing that place hopefully continue to thrive, because it seems like it's bumping every time we've gone in. So
yeah, you guys had a little impromptu get together last weekend that I was unable to make, and I was very jealous because Rob, you've probably been there like 7 times since it's open and I haven't gone yet. It's been like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was funny. I was having lunch with some friends slash coworkers, and I just kind of texted a picture of the beer I was drinking, and basically a ton of people just showed up and crashed our lunch. So, you know, like I knew Randy was coming out, but then all of a sudden Pete and Heather came, and Pat and Jamie came. We had to keep adding tables, and we had like a huge crew by the end. It was a blast. So that's about my whole catch up. Randy, what's new with you, man?
I also went to Rising Storm with you.
Yep. You crashed a lunch.
Time plug. I got the grilled cheese. It was one of the best grilled cheese I've ever had. Not wow. Making it up. The bread was great. The butter they put on it, the cheese, so good. And it's only for kids on the menu, but if you ask, they'll still sell it to you, which is great.
I like like I had the grilled cheese, and then it sounded like you were going to list like 50 ingredients. The bread was good, and I was like, there's only one other thing on a grilled cheese.
True, very true. But it was good.
Buying a children's menu item as an adult is like reverse buying drugs or like cigarettes or something.
It comes with a juice box, and I was like, I don't need that.
They hand it to you, and you just run away. You're like, I'm 40.
Jeez.
No kids in sight.
This summer also, we didn't talk about golfing. The three of us golfed a lot this summer. We did a golf league together. We had a league within a league together.
Don't broadcast that. That's secret.
Oh, oops. Sorry, Norm. You weren't
the first rule of the league within a league is don't talk about it on your small podcast.
Rob, it came down to the finals, and Rob had so much influence on who was going to win, and he made this super long putt, and it was great. It was crazy. And
I didn't make that putt. I missed it.
Oh yeah.
It was stressful though. I'll say that.
It's like a perfect situation for Rob to be in. Like, he's not directly benefiting or losing from it, but somehow there's still a ton of pressure on him.
Yeah.
There's no reward. It's just pressure.
So Andy, I'm pretty sure you heard this, but the best part was a bunch of us had finished early that day. So we go to Murph's. Yeah.
Speaking of future episodes,
Murph's, big time plug there. And one of the guys live streamed up. So he was with Rob filming it, and he had like six of us around the table watching, like it was like an actual golf program on TV. We're betting on what's going to happen. It was awesome. It was so much fun. Poor Rob, though.
So your plug is gambling on your own friend's golf round from a bar. Okay.
Great plug. And it was a good summer. I mean, I really didn't do much else, honestly. Just hung out a lot, I think.
Jamaica.
We did do Jamaica.
We went to
three of us and a bunch of our friends went to Jamaica just for a week long getaway or 5 day getaway. It was awesome.
Yeah, great trip.
Wait, so, back to Murph's. This is fringing. This is pod talk, but it's fringing on plugs. I don't know whose idea it was. I think Randy, you and your friends are from that area, so someone recommended going to Murph's restaurant. I cannot tell enough people about the deal. It's insane. So we started going there because you could get 20 chicken wings, 2 single orders of chicken wings, which are normally about $14.95 on the menu, plus a pitcher of like domestic beer that we would share for $25. So you're basically getting an order of wings and paying $10 more for another order of wings and a pitcher of beer. And they have a little poster, like most bars, that say best wings in town. They are probably top 3 in Rochester, in my opinion. Not to spoil any future episodes, but they have a lot of great, different, unique flavors. And I don't know. We were there a lot, and their wings are fantastic.
They were top 1 for me this summer. I would tell everybody about it. Then another plug, I guess, went to Bar Bill, and I went there twice. And the second time, it's a tough. That would be a great matchup for this pod because I'm not sure which one wins. But I agree with you, Andy. Those wings were so, so good.
I actually don't know. I think Bar Bill's not saucy enough for me. I think they're good. But I think I'd probably go to Murph's over Bar Bill.
Bar Bill is like, I don't even know why I would describe it this way, but they're almost a little fancier. Like they're not quite as crispy and they're like delicately sauced. Like you said, Rob, Murph's is like traditional pub, real crispy, real saucy. So it's like just a more extreme version, almost like bang you over the head in a good way kind of thing with the crispiness and lots of sauce.
Yeah.
But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves for our wing stravaganza that we're planning someday in the future.
Yeah, we're going to call it Wintger this winter.
I mean, I just said wing stravaganza and it sounded really good.
But they're both really good names. We'll have to kind of talk about this.
We'll hash it out.
So,
caught up?
I think we're caught up. Shall we get to the tacos?
Rustic Taco. So, yeah, we had several recommendations. This either used to be a food truck or they had a location in, I think, Webster or something else, or maybe the food truck was in Webster.
Yes.
Do we know all the details of that?
No, vaguely from a text thread that is like very, very far up on the text thread. So I'm not going to go back there, but I think that was about right.
I know that they took over. They're in the Fairport Village Landing building just south of the lift bridge. They took over for a bar called The Landing, which was in all the best ways a local dive bar. My school had many a happy hour there before. They used to have like a 2-for-1 deal and we used to go there all the time. So I was kind of sad when that place closed, but then we heard there's a new restaurant going in and now we've heard all these rave reviews and I'm glad that there's a new, if it had to close, I'm glad that there's a new place in there that's making some good food. So
I'll summarize what it says on the website. The owner is Carrie. She created Rustic Taco. She has 30 years in the restaurant industry, but she is a self-taught cook. I think that's very impressive. She opened up a food truck first. So
I wonder if that was the lady who was like doing everything, helping see people, greeting everyone.
I bet it was. Yeah.
Yeah. She was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the Rustic story. The history of Rustic Taco. Should we get, I mean, when I went in there, the layout is exactly the same as it was when it was The Landing. But they kind of slapped a fresh coat of paint on everything. The bar looks a little upgraded with some tile and stuff. And I'd say there was probably room in the quote dining area for about 40 people. And then maybe 40 more in the bar area, like 20, 50, 20 or 10 at the bar. And then a couple of tables over in that area. So it's not that big of a restaurant, but, I don't know. I liked the booth we were in. It was a big, tall, sturdy booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's like fine casual, right?
Yeah. Slightly elevated.
Upscale.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, if you're looking at the menu, it's like about $8 for a taco, $13.95 for two tacos. And these are kind of like, they've got a lot of like kind of higher, not higher end, but just slightly fancier, you know, tacos. Say
gourmet tacos, maybe?
I think so, yeah. Do we want to go around and just describe the tacos we ordered?
Yeah, well, this is funny right before we do that. So most of the tacos are like almost a redesigned version of another plate of food type of thing, like a cheeseburger or chicken finger or something like that. And I leaned over to Randy. I said, there isn't even really like a section of normal Mexican food on this menu. And he like laughed at me. And then he realized I didn't read the menu. It says Rustic Taco. And then in big capital letters, it says not Mexican cuisine, which I had no idea. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes way more sense. Cause every single item basically seems sort of like a specialty item, which is cool.
Yeah.
And they do have a simple taco section where I got my son like a basic pork taco, which actually had a lot of pork in it.
Yeah. These tacos are big. Like,
yeah, they're pretty solid.
Small taco for sure.
Yeah, so Randy and I each got 2.5 tacos, and I was pretty full from the 2.5. I think you're good with 2.
Yeah. The waitress said to you guys, right, most people get just 2 tacos.
Yeah.
So I can say I can't see the menu on my phone very well, actually.
Do you want me to go first?
I got 3 B's taco, which was buttermilk chicken, beer batter, buffalo sauce with roasted garlic, spring mix, garlic paste, creamy blue cheese, crumbly blue cheese, celery bits. And I got the rustic beer fry taco, cod dipped in our rustic Kolsch beer batter, sweet coleslaw, malt vinegar, aioli, sweet potato fries, and scallions. And I pronounced all of that correctly, surprisingly.
Malt vinegar aioli. How is that, Randy? Because I love malt vinegar.
So I didn't even know what that was, but the sauce tasted delicious in there. It was really, really good.
Huh. That's
Rob,
good.
What'd you get, Rob?
What I did was Silky Chris and his wife Jen both each had a favorite, and so I wanted to order their 2 favorites. So I got the sober spicy shrimp taco, which was fried shrimp in a spicy sauce, ginger lettuce mix, chopped honey roasted peanuts, sriracha, aioli, and cilantro. And I also got, and that was Chris's favorite, and then I got the whiskey barrel barbecue taco, which was with sweet coleslaw, pulled pork smothered in a whiskey barbecue sauce, fried onions, candied jalapenos. And then Randy and I ended up splitting the trash plate taco, which is called the Posh Trash Taco. Do you want to say that together at the same time?
1, 2, 3. The most
most sophisticated meat sauce. Are we not doing it in town? Simmered in red wine with cheese, cheesy Angus beef, thick cut fries, sweet mac salad, and red onions.
Onions. Yep.
Onions. Yep.
Good job, guys. I also got the 3 B's taco, which was sort of like the buffalo chicken finger one that Randy described earlier. And then I didn't want to double up necessarily on what you guys had. I probably would have leaned whiskey barrel or posh trash. There also was a cheeseburger one, which I can't believe I didn't get, but my wife got that. She raved about it, by the way. She liked that one a lot.
Andy, bring her on. Let's hear all about it.
Yeah, she's not really a fan of ever being on this podcast. I can't tell why. So I got the mango margarita chicken taco, which is lime margarita glazed pulled chicken, spring mix, mango salsa, cilantro lime crema, and cilantro. I'll go first because I just mentioned mine. The 3 B's taco. Or wait, I'll start with the chicken one and then Randy can jump in on the 3 B's. The chicken, mango margarita chicken. It was the type of taco. This place was a little tough for me, I guess I should say, because I didn't make any subs or alts on my orders. I went with everything as it was. So the mango margarita chicken taco came with the mango salsa, which tasted pretty good, but it also had a bunch of raw onion chunks, which is totally normal and expected in various pico de gallo and salsa forms, just not for me. So I got a bunch of that out of there as I could, but it was one of those tacos. A lot of the more upgraded, you know, fine casual taco places always have, like, you take a bite and like a quarter cup of juice comes pouring out of the taco from like the salsa and stuff. I don't love that. I thought the chicken lacked a little bit of the lime margarita flavor. It just kind of tasted like chicken. But I did like the cilantro lime crema. And overall, I mean, I ate the whole thing. It was solid. It just wasn't my cup of tea. And I probably should have just ordered the cheeseburger or the trash plate one, which I probably would have liked more. But the 3 B's taco, I thought, was definitely my favorite of the two. I thought this was really good. It had the chicken tender or whatever that was. I guess probably a little chicken tenderloin that was deep fried. But it was definitely a hand fried. It wasn't just breaded chicken finger. It was like a piece of chicken that they dunked in their own breading. Kind of had like that corn doggy type breading on it almost. Not corn, but when you get like fresh made chicken fingers, it was like that. And I liked the buffalo sauce. It says with roasted garlic, it almost had like a thinner salsa texture to it, but it tasted just like wing sauce. So that was good. And I loved the garlic paste. I'm a big garlic fan. So I thought that one was the star of the show for me. Randy, what else about that Three Beast Taco? What did you think?
So both the tacos I got looked almost exactly like the same with the piece of meat that, so I got the cod and I got the chicken. So I ate the chicken first thinking it was the cod. It tasted like cod to me. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. So the chicken has the French fries on it. I look at your taco, yours looks different. I get all confused. So I don't know why it tastes like fish, but it was definitely the chicken taco. It had a lot of lettuce. I would say maybe a little bit too much lettuce.
I would agree with that.
When you get a bite though with everything, the all the sauce and everything, it was absolutely delicious. I loved the way that it was fried. Like you said, that whatever the fry they put on it.
It reminds me, this is a very specific thing, but the before it was Lucky's, the Winton Air, they used to like hand fry everything.
Okay.
And it was just like that, where you get, it's like almost like a darker finish on it and it crumbles and you get like, in a good way, like very greasy, chewy. I don't know. It's a good, it's the hand fried method, freshly made.
Yeah. One of my favorites too. Like I could peel off some of the fry and like the fried skin and just eat it. But I said, yeah, it was a good bite. When everything was in it together, again, it was a good size. Like, I'm not a big fan of usually getting tacos out places because even if they're like $5-6, you're still usually not getting a ton of food in it. This thing was good. I think like the waitress said, two tacos would have been perfect. Also, just to mention quickly, we ate like 4 or 5 bowls of chips pretty much and beer battered. Or not beer battered, beer cheese and salsa. So I was I'm still insanely full, like ate way too much food
tonight. Yeah, as it's like pub style Mexican food, right? Instead of queso, they have beer cheese, and that was really good.
Yeah, that was awesome. That
tastes beer forward, kind of a hummus like texture, warm. It was good.
I guess what I'm saying too is more than enough food for the price, at least. Rob, you want to talk about your taco?
Yeah. So I got to be honest, I didn't love the beer cheese because of the texture and because of the beer. It was definitely beer for, like, you tasted the beer. And so I thought it was good. It wasn't my favorite of the things. The spicy shrimp taco I thought was really good. It definitely had a lot of ginger flavor. So if you like ginger, you'll like it. My first bite had almost something. There's something about in the flavor. Maybe I think it was the sriracha aioli that like, hit really hard in the first bite, and I was like, oh, this might be too intense. But after that, it tasted really good. It was almost like the bang bang shrimp that you get at like Bonefish Grill. It was kind of like that, but in a taco form, and I thought it was really good. I did not notice the honey roasted peanuts at all. They were chopped, so maybe they were really small. But overall, I thought that was a really great taco. The barbecue taco was good. Basically, I don't always love coleslaw, and especially like really, really juicy coleslaws. And this coleslaw had a lot of juice, so I kind of just like tilted the taco sideways and let it kind of just drip out so that it was like a little less juicy. I thought the pulled pork was done pretty well. The crispy onions on top were awesome. I, for whatever reason, I still thought it needed more texture and more variation of texture. So it did have things to give it texture. It had the crispy onions. They were kind of like those, like, you know, if you've ever been to Ted's hot dogs, like the really like thin or almost like
barely battered.
Yeah. Yeah. Just awesome texture. They were awesome. But you know, when you get a big wad of just pulled pork and it's that soft pulled pork texture, they give you a lot of pulled pork. And as a result, you, I think, need much more textural elements to kind of offset that. So they had those. I just don't think it held up. And I think it could have been a little saucier, maybe a little more kick with the sauce. It was definitely like a sweet barbecue sauce. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. But the shrimp one I thought was like really, really strong. And then Randy.
I know you have the one more thing, but I was just going to say,
yeah,
I think that was what the slaw held me back from ordering that, because I'm not a slaw guy. And it sounds like that would not have been my style.
Yeah. I think if you're not into, because I'm a slaw skeptic myself, I think that held me back a little bit on that one. I probably wouldn't order that again. I would order the shrimp one again, I think. And I do, I am kind of kicking myself for not getting the cheeseburger one because that did look awesome.
That's the cool thing about this place. Like, you know, I will for sure go back there. It's right in Fairport. And I just like the idea that there are four other tacos that I would totally eat and try and order again. And it would be fun to go try different ones.
Yeah.
So Randy, let's shift gears back to the trash plate taco. What do you think of that one?
Should I talk about the cod taco first or no?
Oh, sorry. I thought you talked about,
go. It's okay, Rob. We'll get there.
I thought you were going to talk about it before too. I forgot that you didn't.
The cod taco.
We talked about a chicken taco that you thought was a cod taco. So I think that might've thrown me off a little bit.
My fault. The cod taco was delicious. That's the only reason why I went. It was probably my favorite one. And I not even get fish tacos because they just sounded gross to me. And this one was again deep fried the same way the chicken was. And when you got a bite with all the stuff in it together, it did leak juice a little bit too, like you were saying, Andy, on the plate. But it was, I was gonna say beautiful. I don't know why, but it was delicious. It was delicious. All right. So plate taco, Rob, I don't know. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? It was interesting.
So looking back at the description in retrospect, so how it was described, again, the meat sauce is simmered in red wine with cheesy Angus beef, although we know what Angus beef means. It just means beef. So, but the fact that there's red wine in that, I think because you and I were kind of talking about how it did have a different flavor, but it was kind of hard to put your finger on it. So for me, I thought the sauce had some of those traditional spices that a trash plate sauce will have, but it did have a sweetness to it. And maybe the sweetness came from that simmered red wine, maybe that like reduced and kind of brought in some sugar.
So this description is going to sound like I'm trying to like be out there with it, but I'm being genuine here. It had a slight burnt flavor taste to it to me, not in a bad way. And I got this like memory, like it was almost like candles burning, which reminded me of Hanukkah. Like it all came to me like at once kind of thing. I liked it though. I said it was a sweet flavor too, Rob, and it was pretty good. It wasn't bad at all, just different.
I tried the meat sauce and I also, my first, I think I tried it before either of you, and I just took like a little bit of it on a fork and I said sweet. Rob, you said while you were eating it, almost like it almost had like a barbecue-y because of the sweetness.
I was also getting burnt Hanukkah candles also in my reading of it.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Like the fourth night, not the eighth night. Like
I wonder if there's something to that where it's like it almost was with the depth of the red wine, it's like a richer food and it almost makes you think of the holidays or something.
It was like one of those when you smell something, obviously what they say smells like your strongest memory. When you smell something you haven't smelled in a very long time and you're like, oh my God, it brings me back. It was just like that for some reason. I was hoping Rob would nail down because I'm bad with ingredients and flavors, as you know from this podcast.
It sounds like he agrees with you.
Yeah, I was hoping Rob had like some like secret ingredient that I didn't know about that was like, oh, that was probably it.
One thing I liked about it came with a little tiny Tabasco bottle right like on the taco,
and you guys didn't use it.
We didn't. I know, I didn't eat it, you know. So just to describe the taco, it's, you know, that you've got the shell and then, and one thing to note too, is that all the taco shells that at least for the tacos we got were all on flour tortillas. But so they're not corn.
Did you read what you can get? I just saw you could get a double one, a soft and a hard one if you want at the same time, like wrapped in it.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
I might do that next time.
That would be cool. Yeah, with
a double stack.
The trash plate one would be good for the hard taco because if you look at it, the bottom, like the base, is the mac salad. And the cool thing about the mac salad is it's those, like, you probably know what kind of pasta it is, but it's like you took like a tubular noodle and kind of cut them into smaller little pieces.
Yeah.
And I there's a name for that kind of pasta. Like I've had it in like soups, but it's, so it's kind of cool. Do you know what it is, Randy?
Elbow.
But I think this comes like this. Like they're really short. They're like not even a centimeter wide. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think it really is elbow pasta. That's what
that
I'm
they talking that they cut up into those tiny little pieces.
Rings.
Yeah, little tiny rings.
That's like almost like ditalini.
Yeah, they're not elbows.
Oh, I thought they were elbows. Okay,
I've got a picture. Can you see? I'm holding up the screen. Yes. You can probably not see it.
I see that little bottle of hot sauce unopened.
Andy, I would have pushed this harder because I would have eaten some of it. But then Rob's like, who puts this on? It wasn't Tabasco, was it? What was it?
It was. It looked like the smoky Tabasco.
It like was, Chipotle. Yeah, like the smoky Chipotle.
Good stuff.
So anyways, there's the bed of the Maxell, and then the top is like a big scoop of that meat sauce, and that is like the protein. And then
Bronzoni rings.
Yep, that's it. And then it had a couple fries, I don't know, like two or three, and then some chopped onions on top. I liked it a lot. I thought this is definitely something I would order again. I thought the meat sauce had a really interesting, good flavor to it. And I just really enjoyed it.
Anything that's 50% garbage plate sauce is going to be pretty good.
It was a lot of sauce on it.
Speaking of 50%, maybe one of the most insane things I've seen in a while was watching you two split that. Rob cut it. It was laid flat on a circle tortilla, and Rob cut it straight down the middle like a semicircle. And then so when Randy got it, he was like, how did you eat this? He had to pick up a semicircle that was like had like a ice cream scoops amount of garbage plate sauce just falling everywhere.
Andy, before you got there, I'm pretty sure it's like one of the first things I said when we sat down. I'm like, we can't split tacos. I don't know how you split a taco. And then when we're ordering, Rob's like, oh, I think I might call an audible. He's like, we should split the garbage plate one. I'm like, well, I guess we're going to do that now because she's right.
We split, feel like you should have folded it first to give it some shape and then cut it. Maybe it might have been the move. I don't know. That also
I thought of that, but then I was like, we didn't have a sharp enough knife. If we, you know,
should have just gotten an extra tortilla, double wrapped, and then
just didn't split that particular taco, because honestly, that's just like all mush. Like that's the one taco you probably shouldn't split.
It's like,
you
know, splitting a mashed potato taco.
You know what though? We did it, and I ate it without any problems. I think Teddy was laughing at me though when I was eating the remains with a fork. He was just like looking at me laughing. I'm like, you know,
it's like, you idiots.
Yeah, my son Teddy joined us because his brother was not feeling well, and he had about 8,000 chips and one bite of his taco.
And they happily brought us all those chips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice. I love a good free chip and dip.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there were a couple chips that had like a lot of really good seasoning, and there were some that didn't. And I'm kind of definitely, I'm a little critical when chips aren't very salty.
Yeah.
And so I think they could have been just a little saltier, a little seasoned more consistently for all of them.
They were definitely freshly made, which was nice.
Yeah. No, great chips and really good salsa too. It came with salsa. The salsa was very good, I thought.
It's fresh.
I was too busy scraping that beer cheese bowl. It was delicious.
Okay. So do we want to give these ratings out of 10 as our very first of many episodes where we're going to go into tacos all fall every single week?
Sure.
Yes.
So it's out of 10.
It's out of 10 tacos.
And what we used to say when we were doing breweries, 10 being your ideal brewery experience. So this would be a 10 out of 10 being your ideal semi upscale taco place.
Like a taquiera experience?
We have a huge blind spot because we had one beer each, but like I feel like we should have gotten a margarita to just complete the experience. And they did have drinks. They had a full bar.
I did not even notice that. Yeah, you're probably right.
We blew that, but we also, we're fine.
Yeah, it's all good.
So mostly we're just rating the food, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So, Randy, you want to go?
No, I want to hear you first, Rob, because you're, to me, if I think of a friend who is an expert on tacos, I think of you, Rob, because everywhere we go, you usually go with the taco if it's an option.
Yeah, I do. I do order a lot of tacos. So, okay, with that in mind, I would say that this was a very good taco place. I actually do prefer flour tortillas to corn, even though I know corn is traditional. I would give this place a solid 8 out of 10 tacos. I liked it a lot. Again, like I had some of those textural issues. Everything was good enough that I would order it again. And I liked the shrimp one a lot. I thought the trash plate one was very good and unique. But I think there are some areas that they could tweak and improve it. But overall, I would definitely recommend this place to anybody in the area looking for some good, interesting tacos. Randy, what are your thoughts?
Hey, I'm going to go 8.5. I really liked it. I would like to try a couple of the other ones. I think the potential is there to be above a 9 for sure. But yeah, I mean, when I was biting into them, the tastes were delicious. Like we said, it's definitely an upper end taco. And I thought, I mean, the sizes, like I said, were great. So 8.5. Andy?
Yeah, I think bang for your buck is actually pretty good. I got myself a meal, my wife a meal, my son a meal, and I had a drink. It was like $50 plus it, you know, plus tip or whatever. But that was pretty reasonable because two tacos isn't that expensive. I think it's a unique take on tacos. I think it's so funny. I didn't see the not Mexican food thing. I think that's actually really cool. And that's right up my alley. The problem is for me, most of the tacos have like one or two ingredients that aren't my thing, but they were pretty friendly. I'm sure they would be flexible about stuff if I went next time. And next time I'd probably lean into it more. It was the first time, so I kind of wanted to give it the full experience. I would probably give it the same score as Rob. I would say 8. I would agree with Randy that there's potential. The 8 is a little higher, bumped up, because I thought the beer cheese was delicious. I think some of our friends, like Chris and Pete, said the beer cheese is really good too. And then a slight penalty just of taco juice. I'm not a fan. It probably means the ingredients are fresh, but it happens sometimes, you know, when you go to more local, probably fresher stuff kind of places. If when you go to Moe's, it doesn't leak a lot because everything's pre-made hours earlier and stuff. But when you go to like Guacamole and places like that, you get a lot of that. And that's oftentimes like the veggies or the salsas and things like that. But that, then you put your taco back down and it gets all wet, and I don't love that. So for me, I'd say a solid 8 with potential to grow. I would love to try a drink there, and I would really like to explore the menu. My wife did say the cheeseburger taco was awesome. She got the shrimp one also, but she said maybe the 10 minutes to 20 minutes sitting in the bag didn't help, probably this fresh fried seafood. So yeah, I'm saying 8, solid 8.
And one thing we didn't talk about really was that the service was awesome. Yeah. Like our waitress was very attentive. Like she was just slinging chips like crazy, refilling waters, checking on us all the time. So I thought the service was really exceptional, and the owner coming over to clear tables and check how things were. So I thought that was a really strong point of this place too.
And I think that's a benefit of a small setup too, right?
Yeah.
They're probably, I don't know if she was the only waitress, but there was a decent amount of tables, but they're all right next to where the kitchen exit entrance is. And they're all just in one big row basically. So she can check on everyone all the time.
Yeah, totally. So, hey, if you're in Fairport and looking for a unique take on tacos, you should check out Rustic Taco.
They were fans. I thought before we met, I was like running around because my one son was sick and I had a meeting after school and I had to meet you guys there and all this stuff was going on. But I was like, I saved some weird Halloween candies and I got them at school because like the day after Halloween at my elementary school, all the parents just like bring in tons of extra candy because they don't want it sitting around their house. So I go down to the faculty lounge and just pick up a bunch of Kit Kats and throw them at my desk. But I also found some weird candies that we can try too. So the next time we're in person, I've got some, you know, Flavor Town bizarre Halloween candies to taste, which should be gross.
I like that idea a lot though.
Yeah.
So shall we do some peeves and plugs?
Oh yeah. You know, Rob's been cheesing for months. He's got a stack of peeves.
He didn't even want to go tonight to Rustic Taco. He just wanted to unleash the peeves on us. Go ahead, Rob.
You know, unleash the peeves.
I've been thinking of so many peeves over the since last spring that I keep forgetting them, to be honest with you. Okay, I'll bring in a classic gym peeve. I walk up to the water fountain, and it's one of those water fountains where you can like fill up your bottle or drink water. And I never have a water bottle at the gym. I just kind of drink the water, and I need like a gulp. I need it for like 2 seconds. So I walked over one day, and I'm waiting on this dude. He's like trying to fill up his water bottle. He can't fill it up. He's like not catching the sensor. He's taking forever. He's not paying attention. I'm just sitting here waiting for just a gulp of water. He finally gets it going. Then he stops after it's done, and he kind of just stands there and like looks at the wall, slowly puts the cap on. And I'm like, dude, like just move out of the way. Your water bottle's full. And it literally must have taken him like a minute and a half of just filling up the water bottle. So my peeve, I guess, is just general lack of awareness when you're at the gym, especially when you're filling up the water bottle. Now, my plug is obviously going to be Rising Storm.
Let's
Second
go.
mention, you know what? The burger is really well seasoned. Since I've been there a few times, I've tried pretty much everything on the menu. The pizzas are very good, and the burgers are the fried chicken sandwich is also very good. But I say the burger is top notch. The pizza is excellent. Those are my top two there. Check it out. Get over there. You'll love it.
And you really want to go to a million taco places before we review this place?
I think I kind of just reviewed it already.
That's
No,
true.
we got to do a real one. So yeah, that's my peeve, that's my plug. Andy?
We did, you know, I'm a big fan of going to the Broadway shows. We went out to dinner at a place called Edibles. We had gotten food there in the Pando when things were all shut down, and their burger was fantastic. Went there once with Silky Chris and his wife. It was awesome with really good dessert. And we had a, this was funny. We had a gift card and we're like, oh, let's go to Edibles. And I got the burger. It was delicious. We got a couple of, you know, we split a few things and a couple apps and stuff. And we paid with our gift card and the lady came back and she's like, I am so sorry, but it says the balance is zero. And she felt so bad because she thought like we were out on our special night out and we were paying for it with a gift card. Like, sorry, you have to pay full price. And we're like, nope, pretty sure we're just idiots and forgot to throw this out the last time we went here. So that was embarrassing, but also the food was great, the drinks are great. That was a lot of fun. I was gonna talk about Jamaica, but we hit that earlier. How about this? I've got a legitimate plug. I've had a guy come fix my fridge twice since we've lived in our house. His name's Brian Doler. He just has a thing called Brian Doler Appliance, and he fixed my fridge. Or my freezer was filled with snow and he fixed it.
That's awesome.
So that was pretty awesome.
We have a friend named Brian Dolan, and I thought you were about to say Brian Dolan. And I
Oh.
almost lost it because I was like, this guy fixes fridges. Like, this must be a secret. Because he has a little bit of a secret life sometimes. And I was like, that'd be insane if that was a
I
secret.
think this guy actually, I think he might have got like, he might have like grown up around here because I think Christy's brother might have played hockey with him or something. He's a nice guy. We talked about the bills while he fixed my freezer, but we thought we were gonna have to buy like a new fridge and that they're like expensive. Even the crappy ones without ice machines that we have, like it's like $1,800 now. And he like reset the seal around our freezer and he did a couple little tricks and now all that we scraped all the ice and it hasn't come back. So I'm like, it was funny. He's like, what model is your fridge? So I took a picture of the sticker inside my fridge and it said like copyright 1996. I was like, whoa, does that mean my fridge is from 1996? And he just wrote back, older is better. And that was like the end of our text exchange. And when he came, he explained like anything that was built in the last like 5 years, that's like any type of smart technology. He's like, I can't fix that stuff because you have to be like a licensed technician. He's like anything pre-2015, we can service and fix almost all the time. So I was like, that's crazy. I was just hoping not to buy a new fridge. And it basically was like the price of a house call and he fixed it. So that was awesome.
It's good to know, actually. Go for the older stuff.
Yeah, because he's like, they're just simple machines back then, but now like everything has a computer. And honestly, he's like, you have to like, you know how when your car's light engine light goes on, you have to take it to the dealer to find out what it really means because they have the computer. He's like, it's like that. You have to have certain technology to even tell what's wrong with them. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Also, I could be telling that wrong, and maybe some of that's wrong, but it sounds right.
We would never know.
Think most people aren't getting their appliance fixing advice from this podcast, so we're probably
No.
safe.
Shout out to Sue. Sue, call Brian.
Actually, it's so funny. Just this morning, one of my colleagues was talking about a guy who fixes appliances that she was highly recommending, called the Appliance Whisperer. She said
Great name.
he's incredible. He'll fix anything. I'm like, okay, it's good to know this.
It
So,
is funny when you're just like, I don't know. Rob likes to fix things a lot, but sometimes when you have a specialist come to your house and just like crank through a problem within like an hour, you're just like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. It was well worth the $100 or whatever, you know, whatever it costs to have someone fix something.
oh yeah, for sure.
We're actually currently in the mid week two of a small bathroom remodel, and it's going very well up to now. I will wait upon completion of the job to give a full review of the person doing it, but things are going pretty smoothly.
Is it
But
Rob?
it is not Rob, because that would be week two of a 40-week job.
It's I usually work on a 1 year and 3 month timeline for any tiling job, so I
Do about
think
45 minutes a day
a
and
lot of
then spend
thinking.
2 hours watching YouTube videos.
It's 1% work and 99% perseverating about the work. So,
Like, did you do this just so you could hang out with them every day, Andy?
The guy that this is working at my house was pretty funny. He's like, we were just, you know, chatting one day at the end of before he was leaving, and he was like, yeah, I've actually been fixing up my own house. It's like an eight house from the 1800s up in Webster. It's like an old farmhouse. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, you know how to fix everything. He's like, yeah, except I'm just like anybody else at home. He's like, I don't want to do it at my house. And he's like, I do like an hour a day. He's just being honest. But he's like, but when I'm getting paid and I'm working at someone else's house, he's like, I do it all day. But then it also makes me want to do it less when I get home. He was just being pretty honest about it. It's funny.
Yeah, you can imagine. Okay. Well, hey, I think this is a great return episode, great return spot. And I hope we'll satisfy our rabid fan base. And you know, who knows? Maybe we have a certain British fellow in Chicago who would be listening to this as well.
Ooh. Shout out, Max.
Oh, and Max, we might be coming to your city, dude.
Oh, that's true. The Jamaica crew might be on the move stateside.
Not till next summer, but you know, we might do it. So we might be in touch.
Catch a Cubbies game.
Anyways, folks, keep eating, talking, and drinking trash.
Listening to Randy's
And
Peeves or Plugs.
wait, did we skip your peeves and plugs?
Oh God, Laurel's gonna be so mad.
So tired, man.